Hey, it's Lex and Stacy with Threesome Podcast number 45.
I know.
15 of those.
You remembered it.
15 of those have been in the last 3 weeks.
I know.
Well, we're killing. It's awesome. We had so much stuff to talk about, we just decided to do more. That's all there is to it. Today is no exception. The goofy news in the world is just rocking right now. So is regular news, for that matter. It's just been a good past couple of days, starting with Tiger and Lindsay and just going on and on and on.
Yes.
So I know you've been perusing. I know you have stuff you want to get to. So without further ado, let's get this party started.
This actually, I think, might be my very favorite thing out of all the weird stuff. And it's not even weird, actually. It's just kind of awesome. It is the latest skirmish in the timeless war between nerds and jocks.
Oh, you know, one of my favorites.
It just goes on. Yes. And apparently yesterday, so this would have been Wednesday, the Discovery Channel. You've heard of the Discovery Channel. They have a Twitter account. And they post interesting little science facts because that's what the Discovery Channel does.
Yeah.
And yesterday at some point, the Discovery Channel tweeted simply, on average, emperor penguins grow to be 3.8 feet tall. Which, side note, holy fuck, that's a big penguin.
That is a big
mother.
Good
God, that's like, that's like a punching bag.
That's like Burgess Meredith.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like a...
So, you know, that's a perfectly lovely tweet. And I, from reading this story, actually gleaned that information. So look, we're talking about emperor penguins. Well, not being able, I guess, to leave well enough alone, another Twitter account from a brand, perhaps you've heard of them. They're called the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yes.
They're a hockey team, Lex.
Yeah, they're an amazing hockey team, an epic hockey team.
Well, they respond. The Pittsburgh Penguins Twitter account responds to the Discovery Channel's Twitter account and says, as of May 13th, 2015, the average Pittsburgh penguin grows to be 6 feet, 1 inch tall.
Love it.
Perfectly lovely.
Yeah. Love
well,
it.
Well, the nerds strike back. And the Discovery Channel, and it's kind of shocking, but very funny. The Discovery Channel responds to the Pittsburgh Penguins and says, well, that's strange. Our latest observations show no penguin activity currently on ice in Pittsburgh. Where did they go?
I would have been even meaner than that. Last we saw, the penguins were extinct as of last week.
So people
way to wreck a species.
People now believe that the Discovery Channel Twitter account is run by maybe a Flyers fan, you know, or mm-hmm. a Rangers fan.
Of course. Hey, much deserved.
But I just loved that. That was just like, yes, Discovery Channel swooping in.
I love Discovery Channel. I like everything on there. I love Deadliest Catch.
I did too, back when I had TV.
I love Deadliest Catch. I love Bering Sea, which is awesome. I'm fascinated by the panning of gold in major amounts.
Right.
And how they get it into a jar at the end. It's crazy.
And then Goldschlager later. It's so strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is Goldschlager so much cheaper than gold? But anyway, just a fun channel. Lots of cool stuff on there. I like it. It's a good guy channel. People living in the wilderness. Ah,
naked.
Yeah. Naked and Afraid's awesome. Have you seen it?
No.
It is so awesome. They get these people that are, you know, call themselves survivalists and really stack the deck against them and put them in probably the most horrifying survivor situation they can get in. You know, like, you know, late storm season summer on Fiji. You know? 110.
And all the berries around you are poisonous.
Yeah, poisonous. The snakes are poisonous. The bugs are poisonous. The grass is poisonous. The water is filled full of bacteria, and you got to boil the fuck out of it inside of bamboo tubes to get it to be good enough to drink. And you just hope that it is. You hope you get it hot enough to drink. You know, you got sea snakes, you know, that are filled with the deadliest venom in the world right in front of you, swimming up to you while you're sleeping on the beach. You know, it's just, it's fucked up. You know, and they always send some, like, redheaded bitch out there. You know, it's got the fairest skin of all.
Can't be in the sun.
Yeah,
yes.
Can't be in the, you know, and it's like after 2 hours of day one, she's like, I don't know if I can take it.
Her skin is peeling back off her body.
She's just a giant walking blister, you know, and she's got like 21 and a half days to go. The guy.
Is that how long they put them out there?
21 days. No food, no water. Yeah,
but a camera crew.
And to make things even worse, you know, well, they have a lot of GoPros and stuff like that. They're kind of on their own, but they do have one camera. They do have one camera guy that comes out during the day, you know, and films them during the day and follows them, you know, when they're active. And then at night, they're on their own to film themselves.
How do they know if, like, someone were to die? Do they have, like,
well, I'm sure
an emergency
They have a way to say, uncle, I'm done, get me out of here. You know, and they swoop in off the coast and go get them. But it's a show you must watch. You know, it probably is getting to the point where it's on Netflix or iTunes or something like that. And it is, you can't stop watching it. If you go by the channels and it's on, naked girl, naked guy, you know, wilderness, stop. And the chick's always kind of hot looking.
Well, yeah, it's TV. They have to be.
But my favorite episode, and I'm surprised it doesn't happen more, because these people are in their 30s and 40s for the most part. Some upper 20s, but, you know, in that age range. And they had this one chick. She was so smoking hot. I mean, and she was just a little bitch. And, you know, it's like 100 during the day and 50 at night, you know, so they get cold, you know, and she wants to lay up against the guy. And he's like, well, I have a wife at home. I don't think she'd appreciate it. And, you know, it's, you know, I don't think it's necessary. You know, it's not that cold out. In the meantime, he's shivering. She's shivering. They really could benefit from each other's body heat. And she is smoking. And I'm like, you, oh, God, explain later. Please.
Well, first of all, I mean, wouldn't you explain to your wife, I'm going to be naked with a female alone for 21 days? I think that's the least of her fears.
And 21 days. And, you know, of course, to a woman, that sounds romantic. Wow, Fiji, 21 days with another woman. I don't like this. She has no idea that it's, you know, the worst fucking place on earth that they've stuck them in. You know, that the last thing on either of their minds is fucking, but just fucking making it.
Because they're probably not bathing.
No, I mean, there's nothing to bathe in except salt water. You know, and
after a few days, weeks, things start to happen to the vagina that no man wants to go anywhere near.
Yeah, and they're afraid to even go in the shallow salt water because it's nothing but sea snakes and sea urchins and jellyfish. You know, it's like, you know, they're literally, you feel bad for them. There's nowhere to go.
Right.
You know, they really have to be expert survivalists and really should head, you know, inland and find a water supply. And, you know, they always stay near the beach, which kills me. You know, they never put themselves anywhere where there's, like, wind insulation or anything like that. They always stay near the beach. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know, I would so be farther into the jungle.
Well, I guess I was going to ask, I really don't know my Fiji geography, but, you know, are there like stony outcroppings where you could go possibly find some little cave that you could go sit in for 21 days?
Or is it just all
green stuff?
There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's green stuff, but there's also peninsula areas, rocky areas. I mean, they choose it for a reason. They give you a lifeline. You just have to find it.
Gotcha. It sounds very Hunger Games-ish, kind of.
Yeah, they're not making it an impossible scenario. They're seeing how good of a survivor you are. These people already have expert survivor ratings and have been in various situations like this. So it's not like it's their first time being tossed out somewhere. They're supposed to know what they're doing.
Right.
But they usually, you know, most of these people come from like Arizona, Colorado, Australia. You know, it's more rocky, deserty type areas. You know, they do okay in those situations, but you throw them out in a tropical area, they're like, fuck this.
You know, I've often thought, kind of going off on a tangent, but since you're talking about that, why governments aren't teaching like a certain percentage of their populations these skills so that when the inevitable zombie apocalypse or whatever happens, sure, the whole population can't take care of itself, but you have enough people sprinkled throughout who could show other people how to do it if and when that time came.
Hey, we have this thing called the internet. You can learn there how to do it.
Well, but there are people, you know, you think of the kids in cities and stuff. There are children and young adults who literally have never been out in a forest, who have never seen, you know, a deer in the wild. There's a whole bunch of people like that.
Well, they're going to be fucked, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
Need to be a well-rounded person like me that's been in the real jungle and the urban jungle.
Exactly.
Hey, you want to hang in downtown Atlanta? Want to go out in the woods? What do you want? Lexman will go.
I'll just stay back at the camp and crochet everyone blankets.
Yeah.
That will be my contribution to the post-apocalyptic society.
Yeah. Here will be my contribution. Hey, Stacy, it's 106. Enough with the blankets.
I know, but it's all I can do.
Oh, and by the way, we just raided a hospital downtown. We got all the fucking blankets we need. It's all good. Stop making blankets.
Damn.
Why don't you go out and knit us a net to keep the deer you're supposed to shoot in?
Well, see, I could do that. It's not just blankies. Yeah. I could even fashion hats or I guess socks too.
Yeah. But getting back to the Naked and Afraid thing, real yes. Quick, I wanted to get back to the girl that was like busting the guy's balls for being pussy whipped.
Okay.
She would not let up on this guy. So here's a guy that's out in the middle of the wilderness dealing with feast and famine and survival, and he has to listen to this girl just not let up about what a pussy he is and how she needs warmth at night, and she was counting on him. This is a survivalist. She goes, believe me, you've turned me off enough at this point. There's not going to be any sex. So just keep me warm.
And you could actually see his penis visibly shrink on camera.
Yeah, and she's like looking into the camera, and she's like going, don't worry, honey. I don't want anything to do with him. And so I'm like going, oh, my God.
Wow.
I mean, just wreaking havoc. This poor guy stuck on this island with her for like 3 weeks. I'm like, wow. I'm like, kill her and eat her.
I was going to say, and then one morning she was just gone.
Yeah.
And he had no idea where she went.
Yeah.
But he's on camera.
He's on camera walking up a path looking for some farva beans.
And a Chianti.
Yeah. And some grapes to make a good Chianti. She was hot. What a little firecracker.
So were you attracted to her looks or her bitchiness?
Oh, the looks.
Gotcha. Now, when you see a bitch like that, do you want to, you yourself as Lex the Legend, just want to shut her up in the only way you know how?
Yeah.
And do you look forward to that?
look forward to it? Only if she makes me look forward to it.
Gotcha.
You know, it's like, you know, I'm sure, I don't know about my prior relationship. I don't know how she was cool about some things and not others. So I have no idea how she would have responded to me, you know, getting up next to that for 3 weeks, keep warm at night, knowing what kind of guy I am. But I know Lisa would be like, whatever, you know, if whatever you got to do to make it.
I bet she can't bend this way. That's what Lisa would be saying. and then move into some level 4 yoga pose. Take that, bitch.
Lisa would be like, God, just fuck her and shut her up.
Lisa walks in on her hands with both legs behind her head and says, oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I know Lisa, if she was out there with a dude, would be, you know, it's like, come on, dude, keep me warm. I'd be like,
well, it would make sense that you would.
Yeah. I mean, if she was on that show, here's the way I'd roll. I just wouldn't watch it. I'd just be like, you know, it's her time in the sun, her TV show. I know her. She would take advantage of the situation under the I want to keep warm act. And and she knows I would do the same thing. That's just our faults as human beings. And I just wouldn't
My
watch.
My hands are really, really cold, mister.
Yeah, and I know people would call it, dude, you know, I think Lisa did that guy. I'd be like, yeah, possible. only the Discovery Channel knows for sure.
And maybe the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like, you know, she had to fuck her way through 21 days of that. So be it.
You know, it that is what surviving ends up being. You know,
yeah.
It's not just necessarily living in the woods and foraging for roots and berries. Surviving means surviving, and ultimately that's what will you do to survive.
No, I mean, the thing you come away with when you watch that show more than anything is not the food, the water, but how literally slow the time goes by.
Yes.
I would most definitely be coming up with stuff to preoccupy me in 15-minute intervals. You know? To just get me to the next quarter of the hour. Because that's what it's like, you know? I mean, it's just like, yeah, okay, I'm going to chop down a couple coconuts. Okay, that killed 15 minutes. I'm going to go over here and try and open those coconuts. That killed 2 segments. That's 30 minutes gone. You know, it's that's the way I would look at things.
Right.
And I'd make it so... I'd make it so I'm so fucking tired come nightfall that I have no choice but to do anything but sleep. You know, where I'm so drained and so tired that if a poisonous snake does go over me, I don't move. It doesn't do anything.
Right.
It doesn't do shit to me because I don't move a muscle. I'm just out. So,
that's what you hope for.
That's what you hope for. That would be my dream day. And you probably get like 3 dream days out of the 21 where shit goes your way. And then other than that, it's probably just a tremendous grind. I mean, 3 weeks is a long time.
It is.
It really is.
When you are literally fending every moment for yourself.
Yeah. A long, long, long time. But it's a cool show. It's one of my favorites. It really is.
I don't know why made me think of, but we were talking about Louis on our last podcast.
Yeah.
And that one episode where he goes to the dentist and it is Jimmy from News Radio.
Yeah.
He's a dentist. Do you remember that episode? And they give him the gas and he's dreaming and having like that psychedelic funky dream where he's talking to Bin Laden and stuff.
Yeah.
And then the dentist shows up in his dream and feeds him a banana. Do you remember that? I thought of you. I don't know why. But that's when he woke up and the dentist was hovering over him.
I love it.
He's like, why did you put a banana in my mouth?
Because.
And thus that was the funniest thing that's happened on Louis.
All right.
I still have to get to season 4.
Yeah, you do. All right. So Steven Tyler, have you heard his country song?
Oh, God, no.
I think I have found it. Let's see if we can. Now you got to see this picture of him. It's very country looking. It's like him with an acoustic guitar, and he's got these. I mean, he looks like any country dude. But here is some.
How long is his hair?
Real long, and it's real country looking.
Okay.
But let's. I think this is part of it. Let's see what this sounds like. You get the idea.
I was having flashbacks, and I don't know why, to that Mr. Big video from like the late 80s, early 90s.
And I'm trying to think of the other, who did the song Wholehearted? Extreme.
Was it Extreme?
Yeah.
There was the Extreme and Mr. Big. Those two songs were at the same time.
Exact same time, yeah. And I kind of had that feeling to it. It also had Mumford & Sons feel to it. But you got to see the picture of it.
So, is this the new direction he's going in?
I guess he's giving it a try.
How old is he now?
He's like 67, 68, something like that.
Wow.
But oh God, I wish you could see this picture. I mean, he's got this douchey pencil-thin mustache.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And a pair of Wayfarers on, and the hair is, what do you call it when there's like blonde streaks in it?
Is it like the ombre, or is it like the actual streaks? So, I don't know.
It's just streaks of blonde in his dark hair. I forget what it's called, shaded or something like that.
Gotcha.
And he's all done up. And it's in the typical sepia with the Indian print thing hanging over the door in the back. I mean, it's everything.
I was going to say, does he have like a zebra bandana hanging from the microphone or anything?
No, but he has on like a button down shirt and like this crocheted like sweater jacket on.
See, I could make that for him. Just kidding.
Yeah.
After the zombie apocalypse.
I'll tell you what.
Sorry.
I'm going to tweet this so you can see it.
Okay.
I'm going to tweet it so you can see it on Lex and Terry.
We're so high tech.
Yeah. With the question, what the fuck? Okay, you follow Lex and Terry, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you'll see it here in a sec. And that's his first country song. I want you to see the picture, though, desperately. Because it's like, dude. I mean, he would have been more authentic just leaving it the way it is. And just say, hi, I'm one of the greatest rock singers of all time. I'm doing a country song. Fuck you.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. You see it?
I'm bringing it up now. Okay. Forgive my internet.
Oh, no, it's all right. I know you got those hamsters.
Here's Steven Tyler's new song.
Yeah.
Yes. They're elderly and they're tired.
So let me know
still
when you...
Still loading.
Oh, Jesus. You need to whip your hamsters.
That sounds so to speak. Filthy when you say it like that, Lex. Uh-huh.
Everything sounds filthy out of me. The boys on the show think I can make anything sound filthy just by saying it. They're like, say, take your kid to school. I'm like,
you have that knack.
I'm like, take your kid to school. And they're like, ooh. I'm like, well, you say that and see how fucking good it sounds out of a 50-year-old, you fucking assholes. Let's see if you pass that test. When Dio the take your kid to school. I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. Huggy Bear. Is that still loading?
Oh my God, yes.
It is?
Oh, there he is. You're right about the mustache.
Uh-huh. Isn't that sad? Isn't that just so
he always
sad?
Had that very large mouth anyway.
Uh-huh.
And that mustache kind of accentuates it.
Well, I mean, he looks better like this than the old woman thing he had going.
Oh, I know, with his moobs and
yeah.
What was he doing?
Yeah, it was really weird.
I imagine there's a lot of filter on this picture.
Yeah, you kidding me? Anytime you see black and white or sepia, you are sucking all the personality out of a picture. You just are. Yeah.
I admit I have never been an Aerosmith fan as much as I should have been, I guess. I don't hate them. I just think that I was probably one of the few females who wasn't attracted to Steven Tyler.
Well, they're like AC/DC to me. They have two different careers, and I like the first one much better.
Yes, it kind of all went to hell with what was the one with like Ragdoll and all that?
Oh no,
shit.
That was
to me was like the album.
Yeah, Dude Looks Like a Lady, all that stuff. That was their big return as a band.
I know, but that was like where they started their whole power ballad thing.
Yeah, it is. And between Lightning Strikes, which was like their last song, And then they had that one album with where Joey Crespo was the singer instead of Steven Tyler. And
no idea.
Yeah, which fell flat, and then they all got back together. You know, Ragdoll and all that stuff. I forget what album that was, but that was the first one. And then
it was like 87-ish when that came out.
Yeah, from 82 to 87, there wasn't a whole lot going on there. And then,
but 70s Aerosmith, you know, where, you know, it says they say sweet emotion at the beginning of that song.
Yeah. Why are you laughing? Sorry.
Because I told you that story about the guy I worked with who'd been in rock radio for decades.
Oh, yeah.
And one day turned to me and said, I just realized today they say sweet emotion at the beginning of that song. It was like, wow.
It's like just today, huh?
I actually went and listened to the song by myself to make sure I wasn't missing something.
Yeah.
You know, because it just didn't occur to me that he could not have ever realized they were saying sweet emotion.
Yeah, you weren't missing anything.
Well, I know that now, but it made me doubt myself.
Or shall we say, and you don't want to miss a thing. I hate that song.
Just never really been a big Aerosmith fan.
Yeah, I love early Aerosmith. Uncle Salty. It's a great song. It is. Sick as a dog. Sick as a dog. What's your story? Got your tongue. Good stuff.
He was very Mick Jaggery. And see, Mick Jagger was another one that I was never attracted to.
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
It's true.
You shut your fucking mouth. Don't you say another bad, disparaging word about Mick.
I respect him. I consider him a rock
fucking
legend.
Fucking plane and come up there and punch you in the face.
I just never understood how he was getting all of that primo snatch. You know, you'd read like, oh, he was spotted in a bar making out with Uma Thurman, you know, and this is when she was like early 20s, late teens Uma Thurman, you know.
Oh, you know, and how you girls are, you know, it's a conquest. It's like, I think I'll fuck Mick Jagger just because I can.
I know, but that's the thing, I guess. Yeah, but why? See, I would be like,
I don't know, I don't have a vagina. I have no idea why. You know, I know when I was 23, I didn't look at fucking Liz Taylor and go, oh, God, yeah.
You would or would not have?
No, I would not have.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm saying. You know, unless he has some hidden talent that, like, the common general public doesn't know about, I just never got it.
Yeah, I totally get it, man. Very sure of himself, powerful dude, world's greatest rock and roll band at the time. You know, makes all his own decisions, takes no backseat to anybody. Fuck yeah.
I guess.
You know, I mean, it's like,
maybe he has a great personality. I mean, you know, maybe he's very charming too.
He's extremely charming. He's described as a very nice guy, you know, treats his fans great. You know, when he runs into them, he, you know, is does things for people all the time. He's pretty much said to be a regular dude. Dave Grohl, when he played on Saturday Night Live with him, said he was uncomfortable that Mick kept making him feel like the rock star.
Aw.
And it was kind of explained to him by Mick. You know, he finally says, I'm like, it's like, you know, you do realize I'm the one that's in awe here. I'm here. You know, it's like, and Mick goes, my time's come, mate. You're the man now.
Aw.
You know, it's he goes, I now get to play with you. And Dave Grohl just thought that was awesomeness.
Well, yeah. And see, I would, from a musical standpoint and stuff, I would get that. I'm not in any way shitting all over Mick. It's just physically, I'm not attracted to him.
Yeah.
But I enjoy the Rolling Stones. I, you know, have no issue with them.
But the thing about Mick is he always knew his place, you know, and when he was on top of the heap, he acted like it. He gave the people what they wanted. They didn't want some aw shucks guy. They wanted, I'm the fucking man. Fuck you. Fuck you and you and you. I'm the man. You know, but when he knew he wasn't the man anymore, he moved aside and quietly took his submissive place. That's fucking cool. I'm sorry.
True, and he did embrace the whole, videos thing. My memories of the Rolling Stones on Friday Night Videos.
Yeah.
In the early 80s.
Yeah.
I loved Friday Night Videos.
Yeah, that's not something I spent a lot of time doing. I was usually chasing down my cocaine dealer right around then.
at that time, there was a greater age discrepancy between Lex and I.
Yes.
Lex was an adult at that point. I was not.
Yeah, I was like, you know, late 20s. You were still in school.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I mean, some guys just have cool all the way through, you know, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Mick Jagger, Bowie, some of these guys just have it all the way fucking through. They are just icons.
See, I would love to sit down with Willie Nelson, you know, same with Johnny Cash.
From what I understand, you have to sit down with Willie Nelson.
I just think he would be fun.
Yeah.
You know, and just asking questions without trying to be all like, you know, fangirl or anything.
Yeah.
Just, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Totally off topic, but still, did you see the pictures of Burt Reynolds?
Yeah.
Oh, did that make you sad too?
There is no off topic on this show, by the way.
I know, but
yeah, I did see them, and I saw the tweets people were making. I guess they got leaked, and they were out on Twitter, and people were just saying just horrible shit. You know, it's like, hey, the guy's fucking 80, okay, and has walked on more pussy than you'll ever have in 50 lifetimes. So shut the fuck up.
See, I didn't think he looked bad. He just was elderly Burt Reynolds. And it was like, when did he become elderly? It doesn't seem like it was that long ago that he was like in Mystery Alaska. And it was actually a long time ago. But in my head, in my realm of reality, it just doesn't seem like he was still making movies that long ago.
Yeah, you gotta understand. This guy did all his own stunt work, and it's now caught up with him. He is, he's got aches and pains all over his body. He's an 80-year-old man now. He needs a walker or he needs a cane, but he's still Bert. He still, you know, has that laugh and still, you know, is engaging as hell when he's spoken to. It's just they caught him in a bad place. I forget what show he was walking off on, maybe Jimmy Fallon or something like that. And
I think it was a Comic-Con or something.
Yeah, you're right. It was a Comic-Con. And because I know he was on Fallon lately. And he just got caught in a bad spot. You can tell in the one photo. It's like, hey, Bert, you know, snap, snap, snap.
Right.
You know, and it didn't look good.
It just made me sad. Like, I would never disparage him or even now rip on him. It just, again, I didn't think he looked bad. He just looked elderly.
I hate the way.
And it's.
I hate the way the millennials and even Gen Xers treat old people. There's nothing that makes me crazier than to hear Samantha make cracks about old people. You know, because A, I'm not that far from being one. And B, it's just some of the coolest fucking people I've met in my life. When I was little, a little older, the young adult, whatever, are older people. You give me a party of five to hang out with, I guarantee you mostly everybody is over 65 years old. It's gonna be Morgan Freeman. it's gonna be people like that.
Honestly, after having just watched, I finally finished the first season of that Grace and Frankie. Jane Fonda is 77. I was shocked to find out that Lily Tomlin is 75. I would have guessed she was in her 60s. Huge fan of both of them, more than I was. They're just fantastic. And Jane Fonda at 77 can wear a pair of jeans like you would not fucking
believe. Yeah, I know, man. She's fucking beautiful. She still works out. She's still in shape.
That's the thing. There they are. There's scenes where they're like, you know, on a beach and they sit down and they get up, you know, and they're moving around. And I'm thinking, how many people, you know, are in their 60s, some even in their late 50s, who can't move around like that? And these guys are just so vibrant and full of life. I really enjoyed that show.
I'm telling you, man, I know you started doing it, but you need to keep doing the yoga, because what that's done for my freedom of movement and my aches and pains and my posture and everything else in the very short time I've been doing it has sold me that I'll probably do it to the day I die.
Does it make you feel, and I know you're a man, you're masculine, you're male. Do you feel more graceful when you walk? Like, I noticed that with me, just like simply walking across the room, I was more aware of my body, I guess, and how I was holding myself.
Graceful is not the word, but my foundation, of just being, you know, whether it's going out for a run or a walk or at a grocery store or whatever, my hips, my legs, you know, my foundation feels like it did when I was 30.
Good.
You know, it's...
I'm really happy you do that, Lex.
Yeah. I mean, and all these little phantom pains I had in my shoulders and neck and everything else are, like, gone. You know, and so what goes with them is having to take ibuprofen all the time, which is not good for you. And,
right.
You know, it's just, I'll never stop doing it. You know, and Jane Fonda's never stopped doing it. She had exercise videos in the fucking 70s, for Christ's sake. And then again in the 90s. Right. And as a matter of fact, that's pretty much responsible for her financial empire for the most part.
You can tell she's had too, like, the plastic surgery, but she's not, you know, Joan Rivers was so tight and taut, she could barely talk. Like, her lips didn't move. Jane Fonda looks like an older woman. And, you know, knowing that she's 77, most 77-year-olds do not look like that. So I know she's had nipped tucks, but it's very natural looking.
No,
she does have lines. She does have some wrinkles, and she looks fabulous.
I mean, she's beautiful anyway. You know, I mean, you go back and look at On Golden Pond or something like that. She's, you know.
Oh, God.
Just a beautiful chick.
Sob fest.
Yeah. And, God. You know, and it's like she's still taking crap for all the Vietnam stuff, you know, which, you know, she's apologized 1,000 times over. You know, she's just said, yeah, I thought I was being a free spirit and an activist and a leader. And she goes, I obviously didn't put the thought into that I should have. You know,
and honestly, age and maturity too.
Yeah, and then got pulled into it by being defensive about it. You know. Which didn't help things, but you know, she's just like, you know, she goes, I do regret it, you know, some portions of it, but they're, you know, the reason I did it, I don't regret, and I certainly regret that I upset some of our troops and you know, people that defend our country, but I've apologized over and over and over, and you know, I'm done doing that.
See, that's what I have never understood about the Vietnam War. And, you know, I was truly like like five when the war ended.
I just never understood why the country. My draft number was, you know, when I turned 18, I was like one of the last ones. I would have been on my way.
My dad was too, but because he was a school teacher in a poor area that needed school teachers, the school was actually able to kind of vouch for him and say, we really need him here. And so that's why he didn't go.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the last Staley, so there was something to do with that. Last male Staley in my family. So I think there was
at any point did anyone say to you, honor this? Sorry.
I don't even know what that means.
Very saving, from Saving Private Ryan.
Oh,
end there.
No, they were like, oh, dude, your birthday came up. You're so fucking dead. is what my friend said to me. But
charming, good friends, good times.
But about 18 months before that, the war ended and it's all good.
Good.
Yeah.
But why did people hate, like, lash out at the troops? I've never understood that. When they came home and people were shitty to them.
Well, I mean the troops were the symptom they were lashing out at. They were really pissed at the country for being there and involving ourselves in that. Because nobody felt we should be there, and nobody can really give a justification for us being there other than, you know, we're protecting our interest. But, yeah, come on. You know,
the war's going on since, like, in some regards, since the early 90s, you know, with the first Gulf War stuff. I've just never, you know, it's all very much support your troops, which I imagine people learned from Vietnam to not take it out on the troops. And honestly, the only people I've ever seen be shitty about our troops is Westboro, you know, the Baptist Church.
Oh, no. I mean, the troops are back into the World War II favor that they were before, you know.
Good. And they should be.
And they should.
That's, again, why I never understood.
Yeah, but... You know, it's still the country still doesn't take care of them when they come home like they should. And, you know, war is, you know, all that PTSD and all that stuff was there in World War II as well. It just, you know, it just doesn't get addressed, you know, because everybody comes home with it. Everybody to some degree. And
no, I know.
And the treatment of everybody for that is undoable.
Well, I can tell you, you know, Michigan gets a lot of shit in the news because of Detroit and stuff. But Michigan, actually, down in Ann Arbor and then in Saginaw as well, has, especially the Ann Arbor VA hospital, is like one of the crown jewels of the entire VA system in the United States. And I know it's easier said than done, so I'm not saying this flippantly, but if you know someone who either right now needs VA care or is going to in the future once their body starts falling apart, if it is all possible, get to or move somewhere around Ann Arbor, Michigan, so that you can take full use and advantage of the VA hospital there. All of the doctors there come from the University of Michigan. It's a partnership. So you're getting world-class doctors. You know, I hear all these stories about other places like in Texas and stuff, like the just god-awful VA care. And it's like, wow, this is there are two hospitals in Michigan that are just fantastic.
Yeah, unfortunately, they do vary from spot to spot as far as how excellent they are.
Yes.
And
I know there have been stories about people who, I mean, do exactly that. They have moved to Michigan, and, you know, if you don't want to be right in Detroit, because Ann Arbor is kind of Detroit-y area, you can live an hour or two away, which is still a lot better than, you know, just not being able to get there at all because you live out of state. But do, if you can, or you know you're going to need it, Ann Arbor, Michigan, the VA hospital there, absolutely fantastic.
All right. Good to know, Stace.
There you go.
You may have just helped somebody there and not even know it.
I hope so. I hope so.
So I was just looking at something here. Bradley Cooper probably is getting more work and is probably one of the biggest movie stars, male movie stars going right now. Would you not agree?
Yes, I would agree.
I mean, I'd say like maybe the top guy right now. Why on earth would he go back and take a TV role of a movie he did that was not exactly a box office breaker like Limitless was, and do it on primetime TV and CBS starting this fall?
What is he doing?
He's reprising his role that he had in Limitless.
I've never seen Limitless.
Limitless is a story. He's a writer who developed superhuman abilities thanks to a mysterious drug called NZT, which turns out to have deadly side effects, but it makes it so he can just do amazing things.
So is it sort of a superhero type thing?
No, he just gets himself in situations where he takes this drug and can do just crazy, amazing things, whatever the situation is.
Well, he started in TV. I mean, he was on Alias for a couple seasons.
Yeah.
I don't know what else he did, you know. Maybe, I know that there was a time where if you were a movie star, TV was so far beneath you.
Yeah.
That it would be career ruining if you did more than like a cameo guest star, you know, during sweeps week somewhere. That has definitely changed. I think actors now are much more, hey, I just want to work and I'm happy to work. And TV doesn't have quite the black spot of doom that it used to on a career.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly would not put it past him to do an HBO, Showtime, you know, something along those lines, you know, because those are critically acclaimed and have a lot of money behind them. They're almost like feature films, almost.
Right.
Yeah, you know, like,
and you can swear.
Supposedly the infighting that went on to get a spot on True Detective was pretty huge when they finally settled on Vince Vaughn and Colin Farrell. Allegedly, every dude in Hollywood wanted those parts.
Cool.
And this is a CBS show. This is really weird.
Right.
I mean, this guy was just up for an Oscar as best actor. Like,
and he knows Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, a little too much. He's in too many things with her. It's kind of weird.
It's like Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Yeah, enough
They're
already.
The romantic duo of this generation.
Uh-huh. The two movies.
Plus he got to make out with Betty White. Come on.
The two movies I interchange all the time. They're like the same movie to me. Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail's like the same movie.
It is.
Yeah.
I agree.
With the same people. You know, it's like.
Yes.
You know, it's like I'd be watching it with Lisa. Is this the Empire State? She's like, that's the other one. Oh. Sorry. She goes,
Sleepless in Seattle was the Empire State building.
She's like, really? You don't know? I'm like, no, I don't know.
You bastard.
No. Does anybody get a rocket launcher to the face on this movie? If not, I have no idea what happens. If somebody isn't getting fucked or getting killed, then I don't know much about it. So it's kind of the way that goes. Bradley Cooper, though, recurring role in Limitless. I will check that out just because I think it's cool as hell he's doing it.
Right.
Yeah, I really do.
Well, he could have, you know, doing a favor for a friend, or, you know, maybe he's just a good guy with no ego and is grateful for work.
Yeah, I just
you know,
don't
one
know.
Of those guys.
I just don't know what the move is here. I really don't. It's strange. I'm going to have to ask the guys about it.
Okay.
You know, because I don't get it. I wouldn't do it. If I was just up for an Oscar, I'd be like, fuck you, TV.
I don't know, though, if necessarily. I think that people think that once you have at least been nominated, but when you've won, that, like, your career and your life changes. And I think that maybe once upon a time that was the case, but I don't think that is so much anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think that an Oscar necessarily opens doors for you that weren't there before, like it used to.
It should.
I agree. But, you know, they're looking for cheap actors.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there is the whole new money thing, you know, that is considered where a big name will go by the wayside for somebody who's less expensive.
Yep. Because all you have to do at the opening credits is put, and introducing so-and-so,
yeah.
You know, poof, they've got a career.
Uh-huh.
And you just saved $7 million by doing that.
Yeah, and if they're any good. I mean, they grab all these guys and chicks out of the same acting school Bradley Cooper went to, the one that's got James Lipton as one of the, I guess it's the, I don't know what the name of the school is, but it's.
I don't either.
The Academy of Acting Science or whatever the hell it is. New York Drama School, I don't know.
Right.
Who cares? But anyway, Stacy, we are out of time. It is
We are.
It was a great podcast. Got a lot done today.
We were all over the place.
Yeah, well, that's
my favorite thing.
Yeah, those are the best ones. So, you know, and making a seamless move, my favorite of the day, from the troops in Vietnam into Bradley Cooper into a TV show. And I mean, that was just beauty right there.
Very true. And threesomepodcast.com. Need to get that out there too. That's our little website for our little podcast. Please visit it.
Yep.
Say hi.
It's Download Central right now.
Yep.
We are on Facebook.
Facebook and Twitter too.
And our beautiful new logo.
Yes.
Awesomeness.
Lexi Poo did good.
Yeah, Lexi Poo did do well. I was happy. Mm-hmm. I love that logo. I will stand by that.
You should.
That was a good $42. So,
and no handsies.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
I probably, even better.
I could have given a handsy and gotten it for probably $12. But no, I have my integrity.
Sure, you have soft hands.
I have my
yes, that's exactly.
Yeah, I can sleep at night knowing I didn't jerk somebody off. I didn't have to jerk some college kid off for a logo.
I paid the $42.
That's right. Yeah, I have my integrity.
And a sweet logo. Yeah.
All right, so enough of that. We are out of here. We'll see you next time on the Threesome Podcast. Bye, Stacy.
Bye, Lex.